Man, if you wouldn't, your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, book of Romans chapter 12. I'm glad the Lord gave us a way to know Him, and you're holding it this morning in your lap. I'm thankful that we have a God who wants us to know Him, He desires to have fellowship with us. He desires for us to fellowship with Him and Him to fellowship with us. Romans chapter 12, of course, going along with our theme this morning, the message will be kind of an overview, and this is certainly a stewardship message on stewarding our lives. And we as Christians ought to be about stewarding the life that God has given us, managing the resources God has given us. And let's look there at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul said this, "I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray this morning you would help us as we look at our lives in a broad sense. God, that you would enable us by your Spirit to be good stewards, good managers of the resources that you've given us. Again, Lord, we love you. Thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Stewarding life, managing the resources that God has given us. And again, I always like to quote J.C. House, "You ain't got no stuff. I ain't got no stuff. It's not my stuff. The Lord gave it to me. It's the Lord's. I'm simply managing what God has given me." As a Christian, as a born-again child of God, as a child of the Father, then we are to simply understand that we are managing the time, we're managing the talent, we're managing the treasure that God has given us. And it is His. We're just stewarding it. We're managing the health and managing our thoughts, managing our families, managing stress. All these things, managing these for the Lord. And can I remind you too that we manage all these things with our eyes on Jesus Christ. And if our eyes and our minds are focused on the Lord, that will entail it motivate us to steward our lives to please Him. The first step in stewarding our lives is, of course, salvation. And as I think about that this morning, it's been a while since we kind of just very quickly or a little more in depth covered this. And that is, why does a person need to get saved? So if we're going to manage the resources and manage our lives in accordance with the Word of God, in accordance with pleasing the Lord, the first step in that is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. We understand and know that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. John chapter 1 says that it was made by Him and all things were made by Him. Colossians says all things were made by Him and for Him. Hebrews says that the earth was made by Him. And that we can go on and on and on. New Testament scriptures that tell us that Jesus Christ is the primary agent of the Godhead which created all things. I believe if you'd been there on the first day of creation, and when God called into existence light, when He said, "Let there be light," that when He said that, that was the voice of Jesus Christ. He was the primary agent in the creation of the known worlds, universe, all that exists. Therefore, we are accountable to Him. That's what the world does not like. That's why we have people who call themselves atheists and others, because they do not want to be accountable to the Creator. We are accountable to Him. Jesus said this, and He created mankind and placed him in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. And there in the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned. Adam took of the fruit he should not have taken of, he was told not to take of. He rebelled against God, he went against God's command, and therefore he sinned. He sinned. And because he sinned, the Bible says, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All have missed the mark. All have come short of the mark. I don't know how many times I measure something and I think, oh, it's going to be close, it's going to be close, it's going to be close. Ah, just not quite long enough. Especially with wood now being so expensive, you're like, oh, this is, no. Man, that's going to cost me another $10. Understand that we, as human beings, come short of who and what God is. God is perfect. We're going to teach on that next Sunday. Brother Weatherby will be speaking, but the following Sunday, we're going to preach on holiness. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. God is holy. God is holy. He is righteous. He is perfection. Totally holy. We are sinners. We are sinners. We're selfish by nature. You don't have to teach a child. You don't have to teach a baby how to be selfish. You have to teach them otherwise. And we don't get any better as we become adults. We're still selfish. Still want what we want. Right? If I'm laying down in my chair, we have a sectional couch, and we have the recliners inside the couch now. You don't have the lazy boy anymore. You have the recliner that's in the couch. And I lean back and I recline in that couch, and I hear my wife over there washing dishes, which I don't like to do anyway. But as the kids have gotten out of the house, I've tried to help some. And I'm sitting in that recliner. I am super selfish. As I hear the dishes clinging, cling, 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 in my brain, I feel guilty. I should get up out of that chair and go help her. Sometimes I do. I should do it every time. But I'm selfish. She's tired too, but I'm tired. Nobody else has this? Am I letting you know too much about what the preacher does? No? I've let you know too much. A preacher told me one time, said, you can let the congregation know about your life, but just, take your shoes off, but don't take your socks off. Sometimes I take my socks off with you guys. But we're all human beings. We're all selfish by nature. We really are. I mean, whether it's selfish when it comes to chores at the house or whatever it may be, we're selfish by nature. Selfish by nature. And it's because of that selfishness that we inherit from our great, 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 great father Adam. The Bible says the wages of that sin, the wages of selfishness is death. Had Adam not sinned, had Adam not selfishly took the fruit, mankind would have lived forever. Because of mankind's sin, again, missing the mark, rebelling against God, death passed upon all men. The Bible describes that as physical death, but also spiritual death. Revelation chapter 20 says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Understand that the Bible says, Paul said this, he said, the soul and the spirit never die. This tent, this body, it will decay and it will die, but the soul and spirit never die. And one day when you die, by the way, the Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die. Nobody gets past that. Everybody has an appointment. Everybody has an appointment. God set the appointment. And one day we will die. And when we die, our soul and spirit will either go to heaven or go to hell. And all that's depending upon the choice that you make in this life. And it's not about whether you're better than your next door neighbor, or you're better than the deacon in this church, or you're better than this pastor. Maybe you get up out of the chair and you go help your wife every time. It doesn't matter whether you're better than me or maybe live a life better than me. Doesn't matter whether you got baptized in a Baptist church or got sprinkled in a Methodist church, or doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what church you were part of. Doesn't matter that your good works, maybe they outweigh your bad works. Doesn't matter at all. What matters is, did you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, that he went to that cross and he shed his blood for your sins and for my sins, that he paid that sin debt that we owed to God? He paid that sin debt for you. He paid that sin debt for me. He died in my place. He was the great substitute for all mankind, not just me, not just you, but for everyone. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He would see that all would come. He loves the world. Are you putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and then what? His resurrection. On the third day, after they put him in that tomb, he rose from the dead. Having paid for our sins in full, He had no sins of his own. He became sin for us who knew no sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he rose from the dead that he might save us again from our sins. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Again, once this life is done, by the way, just a reminder, this is not the end. In fact, the Bible says, compared to eternity, this is just a speck in time. This is just a short time. Do you know, without a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home? If you don't, you ought to get that settled today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Greatest decision you'll ever make. And at the end of the service here, we'll have a song, we'll have a verse of invitation. We'll invite you to come to the altar, and be a counselor here who can take you and show you from the Word of God, God's love letter to you, how you can have your sins forgiven and how you can have a home in heaven. Hope this morning you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the starting blocks. When we get saved, we become children of God. The Bible says joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ becomes our big brother. And because of what Jesus did for us, and that's why here in our text it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Therefore, we covered that last week. Therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, back it up and see what it's there for. And all of Romans leads up to chapter 12. That God, again, sent his son Jesus Christ to live, to die, and rise again from the dead that we might have eternal life. And not just eternal life, but we might have a life here that is a life of joy, a life of victory. Verses 6, 7, and 8. Man, chapter 7, Paul says, listen, there's a war in my members. And Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament, struggled as a Christian. He struggled as a child of God with good and the bad and going back and forth. He says, there's a war within my members. But then he said what? I thank God. I thank God. It's God who gives us victory as a Christian. Romans 6 says, you do not have to yield your instrument, your body, as a instrument of unrighteousness. Not only have you been given victory once you got saved over the penalty of sin, but you've been given victory over the power of sin. And one day we'll be given victory over the presence of sin. Paul said, therefore, because of that, because you've been saved, because you've been given the Holy Spirit in chapter 8 to help you to have that victory in your life, because of what God's dealings were with Israel in chapter 9, 10, 11, because of those things, because of the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice. Christian, this morning, child of God, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ, to yield our lives to him. He's been so merciful to us, so gracious to us, that we ought to yield our lives to him. We are to be good stewards of the life that he's given us. We're merely servants, by the way. We're servants of Jesus Christ. And we ought to, again, be good stewards of the life he's given us. And so you'll know this outline, very simple overview. What is our lives made up of? Time, our talents, and our treasure. You can't get much simpler than that. So the first thing we must understand is that we ought to be a good steward of our time. And this is an overview today, and we'll cover some of these in particular throughout this year. But we ought to be good instruments or good stewards of the time. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, there Paul says, redeeming the time. Paul said he understood that we ought to redeem the time, make good use of the time that God's given us. Redeem the time because one day we will give an account for the time that we've spent and how we spend our time, how we use our time. We need to use our time wisely. We need to use our time wisely, whether it's with our job or with our church or with our family. And it's amazing how time flies. Tempus fugit, right? Time flies. I think for me now at middle age, maybe I'm a little past middle age now, at 48 years of age, I look like I'm 60. At 48 years of age, and now my kids are out of high school, it really has become reality to me. I remember people saying to me, listen, your kids are going to grow up so fast, you just all of a sudden it'll be done, and I remember people saying that to me, and guess what's happened? It's done. And all of a sudden, I'm looking back now, saying, how would I have changed things, or what would I have done differently? And I'm so glad early on in the ministry that I was presented a hobby. I didn't have any hobbies. Just didn't have a hobby. A little mechanic in here and there and that type of thing, but really didn't have a hobby, and a pastor friend took me fishing. Now, I've fished all my life in ponds and tanks on the farm, but never been on a lake in a boat. And this pastor took me fishing, took my two boys fishing, and then we just decided that's what we're going to do. And so we began to take them fishing on Fridays on my day off, took them out of school. Well, that goes against the grain of some people, but every other Friday, took them out of school, because Fridays was my day off. We took them fishing. We took that time almost every other Friday. And my boys are here in the auditorium, I think, all of them, except for one. Enjoyed that, spending time with my boys, spending time with my kids. I'm thankful I did that. Looking back on it, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful we took time, especially again early on, to, even though we didn't have any money early on, we would go to my parents for a vacation time, go to Snyder, go to the desert of Snyder, Texas, to take a few days off with our kids. We go to the farm in Duncan, Oklahoma, spend time with my grandparents and their great-grandparents before they passed away. We were up there constantly, as much as we could, taking the time. You don't have to have money to take a vacation. Just go bum off your parents or bum off somebody else. Take your time with your kids. Help me out, church. Love is spelt what? T-I-M-E. Your kids will remember the experiences more than they'll remember the stuff. I do not remember a lot of the gifts I got for Christmas growing up. I remember getting a BMX bicycle with mag wheels. Not spoke wheels, mag wheels. Glorified plastic. And I remember somebody stealing that out of our front yard. But that's really, if I go back and I think about the various gifts I got growing up, I can't remember many of them. But I remember my dad and mom taking us to vacation in Colorado. I remember the time spending hiking, and we even fished for trout a couple of times. And I remember those times. I remember the times going and on a Saturday visitation with my dad. I remember the times visiting people with my dad. I remember the times I spent with my mom and dad. I remember the times, the experience of going on those vacations, the experience. I remember the time more than I remember the stuff. And I promise you, if you reflect back, you'll have the same experience. And I am just begging of young couples in here. I'm begging you couples who are still raising kids. Time is far more important than stuff. Spend time with your kids. Manage the time that God has given you. Yes, you got to have a job. And yes, you got to provide for your family. And yes, you want to provide a good living for your family. But not to the degree that you have to have a bigger house, or not to the degree that you have to have a newer car in order to make them happy. You're not going to make them happy that way. You're going to make them happy by spending time with them. They're going to know your love for them by the time you spent with them. And when you look back on your life after your kids are grown, you will be so thankful that you took time with your kids, that you took time with your spouse. Time. We need to use our time wisely. Use our time wisely. I don't know how many books. In fact, I went back this morning, was just kind of looking through some of my leadership books. I got a stack of leadership books this high in my office. And some of you who work in, no matter where you work, maybe you have done some reading on leadership and time management. There are lots of books out there on time management. And it's really not my job as a pastor to come to you and give you 10 points on how to manage your time better. You can go, you can read about those things and do those things. But really, it just comes down to spending your time wisely according to the Bible. And really, that comes down to priorities. And now we're back to following Jesus again, aren't we? Walking in the steps of Jesus. What would Jesus do? What are the priorities that the Bible has set for us as Christians? Well, the priority is our relationship with God, loving God. That is our number one priority in life. It is to know Him, to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, to glorify the Father, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a life for the Lord, to focus on the Lord, to do the one thing, and everything else falls in place. The Lord is number one in my life, and as a Christian, He should be number one in your life. My family is number two. My church is number three. Church and God overlap sometimes. We can have that discussion. Because he said we ought to be in the house of the Lord the first day of the week. I would make that number one priority. Family. But the rest of that stuff is after that. My job, my hobbies, all those things come out after that. So I'm going to manage my time according to my priorities. What are my priorities? Glorifying God. What are my priorities? Spending time with my family, taking care of my family. What are my priorities? Church and the Lord's work here. We spend our time on what we love. And we ought to love the Lord, number one. Love our families, number two. Love our church. And you can make your own list, but that's the biblical line. Time management. What's the best use of my time right now? We can use our time wisely or we can use it carelessly. That's your choice. A lot of time wasters in life. Think about TV and social media. How many times you've been on social media and you look up and an hour's gone? How many times you've been watching TV and all of a sudden you look up and 3 hours are gone? How many times you've been, some of you younger and middle-aged people still playing video games? How many times you've been playing a video game, look up, 4 hours is gone? I still, the video game thing doesn't appeal to me, never has. I'm out of touch. There are grown men who play video games. Still boggles my mind. I'm talking about men in here that I know really well. Boggles my mind. Time wasters. You know what time wasters are in your life, don't you? Don't take much to sit down and just think about the times I'm wasting that I should be spending doing something else. John Wesley, who wrote a ton of the hymns that are in our hymn book, John Wesley, who started the Methodist movement, slept 6 hours a day. It's all he would allow himself, 6 hours. I'm not saying that's healthy and you ought to try to get the 8 hours you need, but I do find that some people are lazy. As Christians, we shouldn't be lazy. And sometimes we develop habits and become lazy if we're not careful. Let's be careful. Be careful to manage our time wisely. Be careful managing our time according to the Word of God. Listen, the world has their own time management philosophy, and if you read some of the leadership books on time management, you'll find that the time management is mainly based upon what I can get out of this life as far as when it comes to success. In other words, how to manage my time better so that my business can grow, or how to manage my time better so that I can climb the ladder at my job. But that's not the priority for a Christian. Our time management, again, is prioritized by the book you have in your lap. This is our guide. This is our roadmap. Amen? Help me out this morning. This is it. By the way, if you do this, if you manage your life according to the Word of God, God will bless you. That's where I want to be. I want to be underneath the spigot where the blessings of God are coming out. I don't want to be over somewhere else because some time management book told me something otherwise. Now I'm going to manage my time according to the Word of God. The priorities that God has set forth in His Word. Spending our time wisely. I want time well spent. I want to create good habits and Bible reading and memorizing and praying and going to church and with my family. I want to create good habits. I want to look back on my life that I know I'm going to give an account to God for my life. I want to look back on my life and say, I spent it well. The number two, our talents. I won't spend much time here, but I would say God has given each one of us gifts, talents to be used for Him. Don't waste them. Use it or lose it. When it comes to our voices, that is absolutely the case. God's given you a talent to sing. If you don't use it, you will lose it. And my mom had a testimony that my mom still had a wonderful, beautiful voice as an adult, but there was a time there where she stopped using it in high school, a little after high school, not using it for the Lord. And she even testified that her voice was never the same when she wasn't using it for the Lord. Use your talents for the Lord. Use it for the Lord. He gave it to you. Share your gifts with others. Share your gift with others, the church and your friends and your family. Listen, if you have the gift of mercy, Miss Bobby Van Fleet has this gift. If you have the gift of mercy, write some notes. Text some people who are hurting, who are down. Man, social media, I dog social media a lot, but social media does have its positives as well. You know, personally message somebody. the gift of mercy. Use that. Use it for the Lord. Encourage somebody. And then lastly, our treasure. Understand that our resources, our things belong to God. We have no stuff. The tithe is the Lord's. It's a debt we owe to Him. You don't have to pray whether or not you give a tithe. You give it to the Lord. Moses, Abraham, Jacob, all tithe in the Old Testament. By the way, before the Mosaic Law, sometimes I get a little email or I get something back from somebody who said, well, you know, tithe was an Old Testament offering. The tithe was an Old Testament law. Well, they were tithing before the law was given by Moses. Abraham tithed. Jacob tithed. Isaac tithed. The tithe is the Lord, 10%. Then we have an offering. The offering is above your tithe. It's a free will offering. It's something you pray about, something you ask to God about. The Bible says you give an offering as God has prospered you. And then we are to give that offering and yield to God as to what He tells us to do. And then we ought to, number three, we ought to spend the rest of what God has given us, the resources God has given us, spend the rest of it wisely. Be careful about getting yourself into debt. Be careful about credit cards, young couples. Cut them up. In this area, I think Dave Ramsey does a great job. We have that periodically here at our church where we put on the Dave Ramsey College, the school. And if you haven't attended that, you ought to attend it. It'll help you. The biblical way in which to manage your money. Don't be a slave to the lender, right? Manage your money, manage your resources wisely. Let the Bible be your guide. I want to end with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 talks about us being stewards of the gospel that's been given to us. Christian, this morning, we have been entrusted. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4 says, we've been to put in trust with the gospel. We've been put in trust with the gospel. I want to remind you, there are people out there who need the Lord. There's a world out there that needs the Lord. The greatest news you can give somebody is to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. To share the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest opportunities that we as Christians have happens every day. Visitation is not just Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, and Saturday morning. It's every day. It's leaving gospel tracts with somebody, telling a neighbor about Jesus, inviting somebody to church with you. If you're too shy to give them the gospel, give them a track. We have been entrusted with the gospel. Entrusted. It's been given to us. And we're to share that gospel with others. We ought to use, again, the resources that God has given us. God has given us a great resource, again, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to use our time wisely. Be good stewards of our time. Are you being a good steward of your time? Maybe you need to reevaluate a little bit. How much time are you spending at work? How much time are you spending with your kids and with your spouse? How much time are you spending at church? How much time are you spending with your hobbies? There are some men and ladies whose hobbies get in the way. Make sure your hobby is something that you can enjoy with your kids and with your spouse. Are you managing your time wisely? Are you managing your talents wisely? Are you using your talents? And more importantly, are you using your talents for the Lord? Because those talents were given to us to be used for the Lord. The talents that God's given us have been used to be a blessing to other people. I used Miss Bobby Van Fleet as an example a while ago. It's an absolute great example. If you have the gift of mercy, then use that gift of mercy to be a blessing to your neighbor. Use that gift of mercy to be a blessing to someone who is hurting. You have the gift of ministration. There are many of you here have the gift of ministration. You use it at work to help administer and you know, in your company or in a company you work for. You can use that for the Lord as well. Use what God has given you. Use the talents God's given you. If you have a voice, you should be in the choir. Use your talents for the Lord. Use your treasure for the Lord. Make sure you're using your finances wisely, that you're giving to the Lord first. He'll bless that. Somebody asked me and said, well, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. No, you can't afford not to tithe. God will bless you for it. I'm not saying that, it's not the TV evangelist. God never promised you 1,000 if you give 100. That's not in the Bible anywhere. But He does promise to bless you if you give. given it shall be given unto you. Amen. And then use what God has given you, the finances He's given you. Use those wisely. Use those wisely. You cannot change yesterday. Profound statement from the pulpit. You cannot change yesterday. Listen, Christian, mom, dad, you cannot change yesterday. You can't go back and change it. But you can change tomorrow. You can change what you do today for the rest of this afternoon and this evening. You make the choice. And I'm thankful that God has not left us helpless. And the choices that we ought to make with our time and our talent and our treasure, those choices are enabled and helped by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. You are not helpless. You have the power. And God's given you the ability with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit to use your time, talent, and treasure wisely. Call upon Him. So, well, I've had this bad habit in my life. God will give you victory. Well, I've tried to create this good habit in my life. Listen, God, call upon the Lord. He'll help you. He'll give you victory. But you're not going to do it by yourself. You're not going to do it alone. You got to call upon Him. Say, Lord, I cannot do this. I mean, just admit it. Lord, I cannot do this. I need you. I need you. I'm dependent upon you, Lord. So many times we are so dependent upon ourselves or upon someone else in our life. Listen, we ought to be dependent upon the Lord. And just go to Him and say, Lord, I need you. I want to depend upon you. I know I need to depend upon you. And He'll change you. You believe that God's still in the life-changing business? I believe that. I've seen it. I've seen Him take a drunk and heal him of it. I've seen Him take drug abusers and heal him of it. I've seen God take multiple individuals and change their lives. God will change your life and He'll change it for the better. It's amazing. And it don't have to be drugs or alcohol. It could be small things like your time. Said, man, I'm wasting. I should get up an hour early or 30 minutes earlier and read my Bible. Lord, help me with this. Lord, give me strength in the morning to get up when my alarm goes off instead of pushing the snooze 75 times and annoying my spouse and the rest of the house so that I can read my Bible and have time before I go to work to spend time with you. Pray that. Lord will help you. Go forward. You cannot change yesterday, but you can go forward. Press on. Press on. Forgetting those things which are behind. Looking forward to those things which are before. Press toward the mark. That is following in the steps of Jesus. See what the Lord will do. See what the Lord will do. You say, well, preacher, I just can't tithe. See what the Lord will do for you. I challenge you. Lord will bless you. Well, He'll bless you. He'll bless you if you strive to follow the Lord. Strive to follow Jesus. Strive to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, to follow in His steps. Let's all stand. I have a verse of invitation. We're going to invite you to come, maybe here this morning. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. We want to help you. We want to give you the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I want to come and just pray. And Lord, I need to be a better manager of the resources God has given me. Why don't you come and say, Lord, I depend upon you. I want to yield my life to you. Whatever the Lord's touched your heart about, you come after we pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for the roadmap you've given us in your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts, that's there to counsel us and encourage us and strengthen us. More, Lord, may we rely upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.